good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean Fulks. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint, and I do the majority of teaching at the Lewis Center campus. This past weekend at all of our campuses, we rounded up our Now Playing series for 2019. And at Lewis Center, we looked at the movie The Return of the King, which is the last of the Lord of the Rings trilogy's films. And, you know, whenever we vote on these every year, we really give you the opportunity to choose. And you can vote as many times as you want. And I believe that Cale, our Delaware teaching pastor, I believe that he voted probably 2,000-3,000 times to make sure that we did Lord of the Rings this year. We've taken swings at it. He's put it on the list the last 2 years. You voted it down. This year, I think he single-handedly voted it in. I'm not saying Cale's a Lord of the Rings nerd or anything, but he does have two, not one, but two Lord of the Rings swords in his house. Lord of the Rings is the quest written by J.R.R. Tolkien, and it tells the story of Frodo Baggins, who along with Sam, Merry, Pip, Aragorn, Boromir, Gimli, and Legolas, they have a quest. It's a specific kind of literature. And I think that really one of the themes of the movie is this idea that everybody has a home. And what happens is that you kind of shift in the trilogy from Frodo's love for the Shire and being in the Shire and his friends there and the simple life that he has, that home becomes this quest, this experience with a group of people that are gathered around this common idea. And so we talked about the idea that everybody, theologically speaking, everybody has a home. Everybody, whether you realize it or not or recognize it or not, is on a quest. And so we used Luke chapter 15 to kind of talk our way through that. And the fact that Jesus tells three parables that are really all one parable. He tells the parable about a shepherd who loses one lamb. And instead of saying 99% is good enough, he leaves the 99, goes out and finds the one. And so whenever he advances out and attacks the lostness of the one sheep, he throws a party. And the same is true in the second kind of chapter two of the parable, where the lady loses a silver coin. And it wasn't just a coin, really. It represented to her like an engagement ring. It was part of that coin would have been part of an engagement ring that she would have worn either around her neck or a series of coins that she would have worn around her forehead. So when she finds the coin, she attacks the lostness, she throws a party. And so you see the emphasis of these two narratives, where Jesus is talking to two very different groups of people. He's talking to the Pharisees, who are very religious on the one hand, and he's talking to the tax collectors and sinners on the other hand. And by the way, if you work in tax world, I know this season is crazy for you. You know, Jesus gives you your own separate category, right? You know, their world, tax collectors were the people who were working for Rome, stealing from their own people. And so it's weird that Jesus has these two groups of people that couldn't be any different. But he tells one story that hits them, because he goes into chapter 3, which is probably the most well-known parable maybe that Jesus told, is the story of the prodigal sons. And I say that specifically. It's not son, it's sons. One son is lost far away from home. He kind of lives a rebellious kind of life. But the other son is just as lost. He's only lost at home, and his lost has a, you know, prettier coat of paint on it, right? He's more self-righteous. He's more together in the things that we typically reward in our culture, but he is just as lost. One is lost in outright open sin. One is lost in a more quiet sense of self-righteousness. Neither one of them throughout the story are really home. Now, one of them physically lives at home, but he's not really home. And so at the end of the narrative, what happens is that the younger son, he finds his way home. He gets up out of the hog pen, he comes home, and his father's waiting there for him. The self-righteous son, who's probably more representative of the Pharisees, he finds himself outside of home. He refuses to enter because the grace of his father is just too much for him to deal with. He would rather rely on his own self-righteousness and his own good works. And I think for us, churches, we have the tendency to beat up the younger brother and sometimes to celebrate the elder brother-ism or syndrome. And so it's really important for us to realize that you and I, that we can't do anything so bad to make God love you any less, or anything so good to make him love you anymore. If you're listening this morning and you are just hampered by things in your past that you've done, and you think, man, how can God love me? How can God use me? How can God do anything with my life? There's nothing you can do that can stand up to the grace of God. And if you're listening this morning and you think, you know what, Dean, there are people who've done X and Y and Z, and I understand there are consequences for sin that are certainly greater than other sins, but there's nothing that you can do. You can never be so good to make God love you more than giving his one and only son to die for you, which is why that boils us down again to the gospel, that we are all undeniably flawed. We're undeniably sinful, but at the same time, we are unbelievably loved through the cross, the love, the passion of Christ for us. So my prayer is that we will live out of that grace, that we will consistently find our way home to God on a daily basis. So let's pray right now. God, we just come home again this morning, again this afternoon, whatever time of day folks are listening. We come home to you. You, God, are our safe place. You are where we find and understand love and know that we're accepted. You give us identity, God, that far outweighs anything that we do, any notoriety that we receive. God, all of those things are just the icing on the cake of our lives. But God, you are the real substantial thing. And so, God, we appeal to you today to help us to live out of your love. I want to give you just a minute now to pray and to ask God this morning to help you live out of his love today. Maybe right now you can just repent from either your self-righteous good deeds or repent from outright sin and rebellion in your life and come home this morning. Take a minute right now to pray. Once again, thanks for being with us, and we hope to see you back tomorrow on the LifePoint Drivecast.